From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to today's Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham here with you. Neil McCready joining us here soon. He had to take the kid to school, so he'll be back with us. I've got his camera turned off right now for those people that are watching via the live stream this morning, but we'll turn that on when the time comes. We're going to open the show today with Keith Carter, Ole Miss Athletics Director here on the podcast. Go ahead and get into him. He had an early morning, so we're starting a little early. Hope you guys are here with us about 10 minutes before we typically are. But nonetheless, Keith, good morning. You know, this AD thing's pretty easy, right? You just come in here, you hire Lane Kiffin, you get out of the way, the approval rating goes through the roof. It's, easy peasy, right?
Yeah, just like the manual says, right? You know, first 2 weeks, you just roll in and you know, make some really hard decisions and hire a football coach, you know. So, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for sure and a hard 2 weeks, you know, honestly. You know, it's been hard in a lot of ways, but certainly you gotta keep going and we had to go get a coach, and I think we got us a good one.
Is there some semblance, though? I mean, I know you still got a lot going on. I mean, you got, you know, the volleyball thing still going. You got softball thing going, even though you have an interim coach right now for a little while with that where you can breathe. Is there some sense of now being able to just go, hey, it's kind of like it was before these 2 weeks when I was the permanent guy? There is some normalcy now a little bit? Because I would think for the last 2 weeks, you haven't slept much. You're probably constantly thinking. I mean, you're getting videoed at the airport when you leave at night. I mean, it jumped into kind of SEC fever pretty quick there for you.
Yeah, we really did, and you know, it was kind of wild what all happened and transpired in a, you know, 10-day or 2-week period. But yeah, I think things will get a little more normal. You know, obviously we're trying to help Coach Kiffin get his staff hired, and you know, the timing of the National Signing Day, you know, makes it really complicated because you know, trying to get staff in as quickly as possible, and sometimes getting them through the HR process, all those things is not just a snap your fingers type thing. So you're trying to help there and make sure that, you know, he's got enough people around him to be successful as they head into signing day. But, you know, we still got some staff we need to hire, you know, internally with our athletic staff. So working on some of that. And, you know, I really think probably somewhat normal will happen, you know, after the first of the year once we get back to full staff here in the office. But it's been good. I can't thank the folks we have here now enough. I mean, they've been so helpful and, you know, with everything we've done with Coach Kiffin and the staff, and you know, obviously, you know, with some other hiring that we've got to do as well with coaches. So it's been good. It's been kind of crazy, but that's what we signed up for, no doubt.
What, you know, you get an official visit this weekend, the first kind of big one here under Kiffin. What do you do for that? I mean, do you research the players a little bit? Do you help out with that at all? I mean, from an AD standpoint, especially because I know Lane mentioned, you know, former player and having some idea of kind of how some of this stuff works. What is sort of your role on these welcome weekends, these type of things as they're trying to put this class together?
Well, obviously, I'm available to do whatever Coach Kiffin wants me to do. You know, if he wants me to be around the recruits as they come in and talk to them about Ole Miss or whatever, I'm certainly happy to do that. You know, obviously, he's the expert, and he's been doing it for a long time, and he's, you know, building a staff that is going to recruit really well. And obviously, we got some of the guys from the old staff that are still here and are helping with that as well. But I'll be available. I told him, you know, anything I can do to help or you talk to parents or whatever, I'm happy to do that because certainly we want to show that we're, you know, lockstep and have the same vision for Ole Miss football, and hopefully some of these young men will want to come and be a part of it.
We started, I guess, really kind of researching Lane probably that Monday, maybe into that Tuesday morning a little bit during the coaching search. And, you know, you're familiar with all the stuff. You kind of know all the stuff, but you don't really, you know, unless you dig into it a little bit, you don't necessarily know exactly what he's like. And I know I was talking to some media members even during his press conference today. He goes, hey, he was a little more soft-spoken than I thought. You know, it's a little more reserved. It's his words are funny and engaging and connecting, and he does command a room, but it's in a different way than just this bombastic, loud, you know, figure or whatever. I know you said you guys didn't know each other, but what were sort of your impressions of him, let's say, you know, that Sunday night when you went to bed as this thing was just kind of getting started? What were sort of your initial thoughts prior to meeting him?
Well, I think kind of like you said, I mean, you have this image of him and this perception of him that you think, just based on what you hear and, you know, some things that are out there. And I've heard from several people that, you know, when you sit down with him, you're going to find that he's actually quite different than that, you know. And, you know, we see what he does on Twitter and different things. You know, obviously, you know, put some content out there yesterday that was kind of interesting, you know. So, and that's part of him, and we don't want him to lose his edge. But, you know, whenever you sit down with him, you realize that, like you said, he's soft-spoken. You know, he's very engaging, and he's very intelligent. You know, that's the thing I learned very quickly, that he's, you know, very smart, very sharp, had a lot of great things to say. And, you know, when I sat down with him, I just realized, too, that, you know, he wanted this opportunity. And I talked a little bit about that in my press conference before we made the hire, is that, you know, you have to sit across the table from someone, look them in the eye, and see if you can align, you know. And so we talked about some of the past and some of the stuff that's out there and all those things. And he was very honest and said, you know, I've grown a lot over time. And certainly, you know, there's some things in my past that, you know, I wish I could do a little differently. But he said, hey, I was kind of put in a position really young in life and maybe wasn't quite ready for it. So that's why I think kind of his journey over the last 10 years has really developed him and prepared him for today and for being the coach at Ole Miss. And, you know, I really think that the time he spent with Coach Saban over at Alabama, you know, those 3 years really put him into a different level as a head coach, and obviously showed that at FAU, very successful there, and we think he can do the same thing here at Ole Miss.
Everybody's talking about that quote from the Florida Atlantic president a couple years ago, where he talked about his Twitter presence and everything he does for the university, and it's all in a very positive light and whatnot. Do you have to – I know it's not a huge deal, but from a social media standpoint, he is one of the more active coaches out there, and he will – you know, that not go over the line ever, because it's all in good fun. It's all with the right tone, but kind of get new. Do you sort of have to just not ignore it, but go, hey, I can't be bothered by that. Just trust him to do the right things as it comes to social media?
Well, I think so. Largely, yes. But, you know, we'll talk about that. I mean, I think at FAU, I believe his president was you know, kind of asking him to be out there on Twitter and social media to create buzz and create that for that school. You know, Ole Miss, I'm not sure we have to do that. You know, I mean, we want to do that some. And again, we want him to be himself and show his personality and all those things. But, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing the right things on social media, that we're doing things with class and dignity and make sure that's where we are. And certainly he wants to do that as well. So we've had a few talks about kind of what that looks like moving forward. And, you know, we're going to try to thread the needle perfectly where he can still have that personality and that edge. But also make sure we're doing it the right way for Ole Miss.
It seems like even you guys, I mean, I know AL.com did a story on your social media rollout with Kyle and Stewart and those guys. It seems like, though, a little bit, you guys are even sort of, as an institution, having a little more fun, being a little more open with some of those things. Because, I mean, not in a bad way, but it seemed like the Ole Miss social media president was a little more conservative prior to this week. I mean, even on that Saturday, it did have a different tone than I was used to following from you over there.
Yeah, and I, you know, a lot of credit to those guys. I mean, they were sending me texts, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? And, you know, I wanted to make sure that we were protecting, you know, kind of the confidentiality of it. I mean, obviously it was leaking and there was a lot of things out there, but I wanted to make sure we didn't confirm it through our social media before his team, you know, he had a chance to talk to his team after the game. And so we tried again to find that perfect balance of being a little bit edgy, a little bit out there. You know, obviously, even at the basketball game on Saturday, we showed some of their game in one of the timeouts. You know, that was before the official announcement. So just trying to tease it a little bit, and I thought they did a tremendous job. And again, that's where I think we've been good. We've been able to kind of do some things that were out there and proactive and creative, but certainly not cross the line to where, you know, it causes issues or that type of thing. But I thought our team did a tremendous job, and they were very thoughtful about the way they did things, and obviously, you know, a lot of people around the country felt the same.
So I know Neil to talk to you a little bit right after the press conference about this, but what's happening just from a monetary standpoint, tickets, merchandise? I mean, are you already seeing some bumps in some areas from this? Because I mean, it's been almost kind of a total cleansing from a fan base standpoint, from our view and what we see on our message boards and our website and through podcast listeners. What's kind of the early signs of what it's doing for you guys in those terms?
Well, certainly, you know, I agree. I mean, I think it's been a lightning rod, and certainly people are coming back and they're excited, and we've seen that from you know, deposits on season tickets. We've seen it from, you know, Vault Society memberships. We've had several of those that have come through, and everybody seems really, really excited. And just kind of anecdotally with text messages and conversations around town, people seem to be really excited about where we're going to go and, you know, the direction that we're headed. So I think we'll know more about that kind of as we get past Christmas and get into January and February. Obviously, we'll start, you know, talking a lot more about renewals and those type of things. But, you know, we're anticipating a large jump. And so that's good. And obviously, that's good for us here on campus and the things we're doing from our budget standpoint, but also for the city of Oxford. You know, I think it's going to be a nice shot in the arm for just our community. And we know that everything's kind of tied together here in Oxford. So I'm excited about that. And hopefully that will that'll make a difference for our community as well.
You ran a pretty tight search all week. I could give you credit for that. Not much leaked out for the most part. You held it in. Was the only mistake the entire time not keeping your plane blocked on that Thursday night?
Yeah, and you know it was kept quiet because I was the only one running, you know, doing it, and I had my search consultant Chad Chatlos, and we worked, you know, kind of very diligently to make sure that, you know, we were the only ones kind of doing things and making sure that things didn't leak out. And then, yeah, on Thursday night, you know, we had a little mishap there. And I guess it was some folks from Arkansas that tracked us and found us. But that was okay. You know, I mean, sometimes that's going to happen. And I think, you know, getting kind of toward the finish line before, you know, people knew what was going on was a good thing. And, you know, it's hard because you want to pull people in here in the department. You want to do things and bounce things off of them and do different things, and certainly you trust them, but it's one of those that sometimes in these searches it's just one tiny leak and things can go really sideways. So tried to keep it tight. It felt like we did a good job with that, and you know, obviously the search resulted in a good finish.
What was going through your head when you're getting videoed on Thursday night leaving Wilson Air Center?
Well, I didn't see that
oh,
person.
You didn't?
You know,
okay.
I'm getting in my truck and pulling off and you know, get home, and then, you know, hear that there's, you know, some video out there, there's some pictures out there. And so it kind of made me feel a little weird because there was somebody that close to me. I didn't even know they were there, you know? So, but like you said, it's kind of that SEC mania. You know, it is what it is. And you step into that and you know that, you know, certain parts of your life are now public, you know? And so you just got to do things the right way and make sure you're making good decisions. You know, part of that is good. I mean, we have a passionate fan base. They want to know. They want to know what's going on. They want to be a part of it. And, you know, if you lose that passion, then you've got a real problem. So I'll go with the passion and people kind of hiding in the bushes, taking a few pictures rather than nobody caring, that's for sure.
You're competing with some other schools for Lane to some extent. You got a lot going on. Like you said, it just takes one little bit of flashpoint to cause a problem there. At what point were you able to, you know, kind of excel and know, hey, this is done. I feel good about it. I can relax a little bit. What part of the week did that finally come?
Probably going into late Thursday and then on into Friday, I felt pretty good. You know, I felt like we were going to be in a good position and just needed to kind of close some things out and get some stuff signed. But I felt really good about that, and you know, had a great relationship and you know, throughout this whole experience with Jimmy up in Memphis, and he was great. And so we kind of hammered out some of the details of the term sheet and felt pretty good about it. So you know, it was good, and certainly, you know, very eye opening this week. Talked to a lot of coaches, a lot of really good coaches, folks that are going to be very, very successful. And you know, it was fun to kind of do that. But certainly, as we got to the end of the week and especially on into Friday and Friday evening, felt pretty good about it.
You obviously wanted somebody who you mentioned to us in the press conference, just kind of energize everybody after things had gotten a little flat there from a program standpoint. We talked to Lane about it. What was sort of your impressions as you're seeing the tarmac coming in, as you're seeing the 4,000 people at the Pavilion or whatever? Was there some sort of, you know, I'd say even justification, really, because that's not the right word, but just sort of a, wow, this is, you know, a little bit more of, hey, I got the right guy, we've accomplished what we've wanted to accomplish. And we got to win, got a lot more to go. But from an introductory standpoint, just kind of the home run that was with that whole thing from a fan base standpoint?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I think he checks all of those boxes. And I was telling somebody yesterday, when I came out of the tunnel at the announcement and walked onto the court there at the Pavilion, you know, I was really shocked. I mean, I knew we'd have a great crowd. I could tell there was energy in the building, you know, from down below. But when I walked out and saw that, you know, not only was that one side full, but it had wrapped around the corners of really both sides, you know, I was kind of shocked. I really couldn't believe, you know, how many people were there. But, yeah, and that's what we wanted. We wanted somebody to come in and really energize and immediately bring, you know, that energy to our fan base. And like you said, now the work begins, and got to get the staff hired, got to recruit, and certainly got to win games. And that was the other part, you know, as I talked to Lane, he was very committed to doing it here at Ole Miss. He wants to be here. He wants to build, you know, a sustained winner and one of these, you know, not one of these roller coaster programs where you're winning 10 games one year and four games the next. You know, he wants to build something that's very consistent. So, you know, it starts with the fan base. It starts with excitement. You know, it starts with all of that support and energy. And then obviously, you know, he's got to go to work and do his part. And I believe that he'll do that.
You mentioned that every day away from the NCAA stuff is a little bit of a better day. Did this jump 10 steps ahead in one way? It's kind of a reset a little bit. Nobody's talking about that stuff. I mean, are you able to go into the office now and go, hey, this is kind of completely beyond us in some ways?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's you know, that was such a hard time to go through, and you know, we needed something to kind of distract us from it, really. You know, and especially with the fan base that has been through a lot. You know, we had the NCAA thing. We had, you know, obviously everything that happened with the dismissal of a coach, and just fighting through some hard times. And I think now with some energy, with some, you know, some folks, you know, folks are excited about where we're going. They're kind of forgetting about that. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we still have things we got to worry about. Obviously, we're still on probation through November of next year, and we got to make sure that we're doing the right things every single day, and we want to do that. And we would do that in any normal circumstances. Certainly being under probation and making sure that moving forward that, you know, Lane and his staff do things the right way, all of our coaches and all of our staff do the things the right way. So, but it does feel better. It feels like we're moving on. I think I get that sense from our fan base and our donor base. And certainly here in the office, we feel that way. So we're ready to move forward and ready to start thinking about the future.
When do you anticipate a full staff being in place for him?
You know, I think, man, again, with this signing day, it makes things very complicated because you've got to, again, thread the needle and you want to bring some new folks in. You're holding on to some old folks. And I anticipate he'll probably keep some from the old staff. But I think it's probably going to be maybe even, you know, through the holidays before we kind of get into a full staff. I think in a perfect world, he would love to have, you know, that staff ready to roll when the next recruiting period opens up, you know, after the first of the year. But it's tough. I mean, when you're trying to hire, you know, 10 coaches and a bunch of staff and all that, it's a big process. So I think after Sunday, you know, even as they go into Wednesday, they'll have a little bit more time in the office because obviously they can't be on the road. So I think he'll start thinking about, you know, some more detail on the staff and start, you know, getting that flushed out. But we want to do everything we can to do it quickly because we know that continuity and getting them in here is going to help us, you know, as we get into that February signing period as well.
Lane's on with Golic and Wingo right now. As you're talking to us, you kind of got the short end of the stick, didn't you?
Hey, I'd better be right here.
Okay, gotcha. So, you know, Neil's with us in a minute. I'll turn his camera on in a second. But when are we going to get around to getting a fluffy shark instead of the one we have now? How do we get this mascot changed, Keith?
Man, now you go to the hard-hitting
question. I'm just curious.
All the football stuff was easy. Now you give me this.
Well, hey, it's one thing. You came in the office today, Keith. The football thing's done. We're moving on to the next thing. It's all about the next thing. Lane said
that on
Monday.
There you go. Well, you know, that's something we'll look at. You know, I think there's a lot of great things about Tony and the land shark and the story and everything there. But we'll continue to look at that, and we know that there's some reservation to kind of the look and feel of Tony right now, and that's something we'll continue to look at as we move forward.
That was diplomatic.
Just need a fluffy one.
There you go.
Just a big fluffy San Jose shark, and call it the Ole Miss shark, and you'll be good. You'll be set. Your popularity will go from a 30 on a scale of 1 to 10 to like a 500 on a scale of 1 to 10. You'll become king. They won't even call you AD anymore. They'll just call you King Carter.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we'll put you guys on a focus group and we can get some real information. We'll get things rolling.
You set me up for a joke, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Oh gosh, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm so proud of myself right now for that restraint.
I'm trying to think football wise. We kind of covered everything. Moving on though, we're probably gonna talk to you again. Neil and I were kind of talking about this the other day, just sort of doing something a little different on the show because you're always trying to get new with people a little bit. Let's go back with you a little bit. What's your favorite Christmas present growing up, Keith?
Wow, favorite Christmas present. probably something in the hunting industry. I'm a big, okay. I like to get outdoors, and I remember when I got my first bow and arrow. That was pretty cool. So probably something from that standpoint.
Almost kind of like a Christmas story with the BB gun. You had a bow and arrow instead?
That's right. That's right. I didn't shoot out any windows, though, or shoot anybody, so that was good.
Podcast is also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about a golf trip with the guys, anniversary trip, a trip to Florida, the Caribbean, Scotland, Ireland, Paris, London, you name it, John Edwards can handle it for you. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits, simply not available to other travelers. What you do is you give him a call, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, let him give you some options, and no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by the refrigeration company, TRC, owned and operated by Jeremy Wattler. He's been in the refrigeration field for more than 20 years, including 5 as a national service manager. He understands that great service means being responsive, and their highly trained, responsible, dedicated staff are available 24/7 to ensure your complete satisfaction. TRC specializes in ammonia refrigeration, but works on any other HFC, HCFC, or CO2 system. They're building winning relationships with customers in baking, cold storage warehouses, ice production facilities, and facilities serving dairy, food, poultry, and catfish processing. TRC is based in Alabama, but they're licensed in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and South Carolina as well, and they can handle all of your company's refrigeration needs, including installation, fabrication, service, compressor rebuilds, ammonia detection calibration, vibration analysis, and more. To learn more, call Jeremy Wattler, 251-348-8533, or email him at jeremy@therefridgeco.com. You can also check out their website, therefridgeco.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but a lot more as well, from custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paper patios, forestry mulching, and much more. To patch your dream backyard easier than you think with Master Cuts, let's go to mastercuts.com for a free quote, or that same free quote at 662-607-7773. Again, go to mastercuts.com.
What's your stance on that movie? You know how TBS plays that movie, what's it called?
A Christmas Story.
over and over again on Christmas Day. Are you a fan of that movie? Is it a good movie? Is it an awful movie? Where do you fall?
I'm probably somewhere in the middle. You try to get the kids to watch it, you know, maybe once a year, that type of thing. But yeah, I'm not, once I've seen it, you know, once in a Christmas season, I'm good. So, then you've got the Hallmark movies that are just over the top. Those end up being shown in my home quite frequently. So, some of those are good and some of those are bad, but I'm all about Christmas. I'm all about this time of year and getting involved and getting in the spirit and all that. So I'm okay with that stuff.
While we're asking the hard-hitting questions, in your mind, in the lexicon of Christmas movies, does Die Hard count as a Christmas movie, or is it not a Christmas movie?
I don't think it does, because when I'm thinking Christmas, I'm thinking more, you know, just the Christmas spirit and those type of things. And I love the Die Hard movie, but I think it's got to fall more just action-adventure and
absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I agree. I know I agree, but boy, they mix in a lot of Christmassy stuff in that deal where they make it where it can be a debate. It's a lot like the hot dog is a hot dog a sandwich debate? Because you can, I think there is a clear answer, but it's easy to make the debate for the other side, which is what creates the ambiguity.
Yeah, I'm thinking a hot dog is a hot dog. You know, I'm just thinking it's not a sandwich, but maybe I'm totally out there on an island.
No, I'm with you completely, but the fact that it is two pieces of bread, if you divide the bread, if a hot dog bun becomes divided when you open it because maybe the bread's not particularly good or whatever, and then all of a sudden...
So a Subway sandwich isn't a sandwich? They don't cut the bread all the way through. They put them...
It's a po' boy.
Well, it is.
They don't cut the bread all the way.
It's still a sandwich.
No, for it to be a sandwich, it has to be two separated pieces of bread.
So a po' boy is not a sandwich now?
No, it's a po' boy.
Okay. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably National Lampoon's. I mean, hard to beat that.
It is.
You know,
don't overthink it, right? Just.
Yeah, exactly.
Presents, Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
We do Christmas morning. We might do one on Christmas Eve if the kids beg enough, but most of them come on Christmas morning.
It's a good American right here. I mean, these answers are solid.
Simple man, Neil. Simple man.
Nah, it's not simple. It's not simple. Now one of our people in our chat points this out. Perhaps the most impactful Christmas movie ever, if we really think about it, is Rocky IV. Not only does he beat Ivan Drago on Christmas Day in Moscow, and avenge Apollo Creed's death, but he stops the Cold War on Christmas Day. I don't know that gets enough credit, honestly.
Are you a Rocky fan, Keith?
I mean, I've seen all the movies. I did not remember all of those details, but that's pretty solid.
We have spent hours on Rocky on this podcast. Yeah, I'll apologize.
I have a bit of an issue as it pertains to the Rocky movies, so forgive me.
What's your take on basketball to this point? Obviously, it's a good win over Penn State. They've need to finish out the year well. The conference doesn't seem quite as good as maybe we thought early on. I mean, still really good, but they haven't done in the non-league what I anticipated, at least. What's sort of your overall landscape on that currently?
Yeah, I would agree, and I think Kermit would probably agree. You know, I think if you had gotten maybe one more of, you know, that, you had that four-game stretch where you really only won one of those games. That was a great win against Penn State. But if you find a way to win one more of those, you probably feel, you know, that you're right where you need to be. But, yeah, you need to finish out the non-conference. Got a tough one with Wichita State there. They're very good. But I just think offensively we struggled, you know, and I think Breeden and Devontae have struggled a little bit this year. I'm not sure if they're putting a little too much pressure on themselves to perform, but heard Breeden had an incredible day of practice yesterday and look forward to both of those guys, you know, having a great year. I know they will. But I think just offensively, we've got to keep moving the ball, and I think the last couple of games we've moved the ball, we just haven't been able to make shots. And so I think that this team's going to continue to evolve. We've got a lot of new guys that are kind of figuring it out, and I think losing Terrence was more of a loss than a lot of people, you know, thought that would be. And we're seeing that. He's been playing very well at the next level. And I think what he did last year kind of freed so many people up to do their thing. And it's changed the dynamic this year. So they're still, you know, finding their way a little bit. But I think this team's going to be okay in the end.
You kind of brought up something I was going to ask you. You were a very good offensive player when you played, probably an elite offensive player when you played. When you had shooting slumps, where you got open looks and you just didn't knock them down, I'm sure that happened to you at different times in your career. Was there something you did to get out of it, or did you have to be careful not to start overthinking it and putting a different kind of pressure on yourself where suddenly a 1 week slump becomes a 2 week slump?
Yeah, and you know, that happened a lot. I mean, you go through stretches where you just couldn't make shots, and I think when that happens, you've got to turn your attention to just other parts of your game. You know, you got to play great defense. Maybe you get a run-through steal to go get a layup to kind of get yourself in the flow, or, you know, try to get fouled early, get to the free throw line, you know, make a couple free throws to kind of get your rhythm going. But you got to make sure that if you're struggling offensively, it doesn't affect the other parts of your game. And I think, you know, that can easily happen. And so I think that, you know, if you're looking at somebody like Breeden or Devontae, you know, they just got to keep doing the little things that help the team. And eventually those shots are going to fall, just like, you know, Coach Davis was telling me, you know, Breen made all of his shots yesterday in practice. And that eventually that's going to happen. They're going to fall and have one of these games. And that's the amazing part of it, too, is that you can be slumping, and all of a sudden you have one great game, and you're right back in the mix. The confidence is there, and I've seen it happen so many times. So they just got to keep playing their overall game, and it'll come back to them.
You mentioned Terrence a little bit. What were your sort of expectations for him as he came out last year? I mean, obviously he's defied so what so many people expected, and kind of became he's a Rookie of the Year candidate at this point. Even, I mean, what did sort of you see as he was coming out that maybe, you know, gave you thought that even anything near this was a possibility?
Well, I knew that Terrence had the work ethic. I knew that he was just a great young man. I knew he was going to give it his best shot. I was a little bit afraid that maybe he didn't have a position in the NBA. You know, was he a point guard? Was he a shooting guard? Could he shoot it well enough to be a shooting guard? You know, those type of things. And I think he just proved everybody that he has a position. And, you know, he's playing some point now. He's finding a way into the rotation. And, you know, obviously athletically, we knew he had that. And what I noticed just, and the reason I know this is because my son has become the biggest Raptors fan in the world. He's constantly telling me stats. He's showing me highlights, all those things. And so you watch Terrence out there now, and you can say, man, that guy belongs. I mean, it's easily, you know, as soon as you watch him out there with those other guys, you can say he belongs there. So I'm so happy for him and what he's doing for himself and representing Ole Miss and his family. But, man, he's been great, and I think his best basketball is ahead of him, frankly, you know, because we saw him evolve and progress as a player at Ole Miss. Now he gets to, you know, spend every waking hour practicing, getting better, watching film, doing all those things, and I think he's going to just continue to get better and better.
It's been amazing. I'm an NBA junkie. I probably haven't watched as much this year because of coaching searches and stuff, but I'm starting to kind of get back into it a little. What's amazing with him is to watch not only his confidence, but you can see how much more confidence Nick Nurse has in him as sort of the games roll on. He's gone from being, hey, go stand over in the corner, we're going to get you a open shot in flow, to we're making you a part of the offense, we're running pick and roll with Marc Gasol, running some point, doing some different things. He's become a much bigger part of their game plan, which probably speaks volumes to just how effective he's been in practice as well. Because you know this, those NBA coaches, they don't, especially if it's, I mean, like if it's a Ja Morant or somebody like that, it's a different deal because the organization has put so much money into the player that the player is going to be a big part of the rotation. But for a guy like Terrence, you've got to absolutely earn your minutes, and he keeps earning more and more.
He does, and again, you know, I think what we've seen from him, you know, his senior year all the way through the spring, going through the combine, going through individual workouts, then to the summer league, up until now, he just improved so much. And I think, you know, what these coaches love about him is that he's just going to go out, he's going to play hard, he's going to do exactly what you ask him to do. And what I've noticed about him, too, is that, you know, there were times at Ole Miss when he would, you know, make just an incredible play, and then he would come down and throw the ball into the 14th row, and you're like, how did that happen? You know, there was just kind of this up and down with him. And what I've seen is just more of a consistency. And that comes with just playing more ball, spending more time watching film. I mean, that's his job now. And so I knew that would come. But, yeah, he certainly has the coach's confidence, and they feel great having him in there. And I love the role that he's playing, you know, with the Raptors right now.
I mentioned a little bit about the Thursday night interview with Lane. I know you said you talked to him on Wednesday as well, the first kind of introductory and whatnot. What is that conversation like? Is that more of getting to know somebody as a person, trying to get a feel for them? I mean, is that a lot of specifics? Sort of outline the first conversation and what you're trying to accomplish from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're interviewing a coach, you probably kind of know where they stand from a football standpoint. I mean, that you know where they stand from, you know, can they win? Have they won? What their career resume looks like? Those type of things. But what I really wanted to do was sit there, you know, across the table from him, look him in the eye, and get to know him. And that's what I was impressed with. You know, we talked very candidly about a lot of different things, and you know, we talked about, you know, why he wanted to be at Ole Miss. He was very knowledgeable about our program. Obviously, his brother had been here, and he had spent some time in Oxford, and knew a little bit about our city and our campus and all of that. But yeah, to me, it was just more about getting to know him personally, you know, talking about where he wanted to go and his vision for our football program. But, you know, to me, that was very, very valuable to be able to do that and you know, get to know him more on a personal level.
What were your impressions from the team meeting on Monday?
I was impressed. You know, I mean, you know, again, he's a little understated. You know, he's not a rah-rah guy from that standpoint. He kind of gets to the point. I think the team really respected that. I think they connected with him. You know, obviously he had Wilson Love who came in and got him fired up a little bit, the new strength coach, and that was good. But yeah, I think he's just kind of straight to the point and talked a lot about, you know, building into them as young men and getting to know them. Obviously, you know, he mentioned he's going to be on the road a lot this week, but as soon as he gets back, he's going to try to get with everyone and get to know them more on a personal level. So I thought the team meeting was really, really good and certainly a good way to kick it off.
Kind of jumping around a little bit, we're still a few years away from it, but where do you think these rights deals are going in a few years? How do you sort of long-range budget that? Do you feel like the SEC Network money and whatever is just going to keep going up, down? I mean, what's sort of the long-range view on how to kind of appropriate that cash as it comes in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to continue to grow. And, you know, I think that it's really, you know, as it continues to grow, obviously that means more visibility on TV, more visibility and ease to watch games, you know, really anywhere. And so I think we got to continue to balance, you know, that's a great thing and that revenue is a great thing, but also getting people in our venue. And so that's something we're going to have to continue to try to balance and be creative and proactive and find ways where people want to come, you know, be in venue to watch games. But, yeah, I think the revenue is going to continue to grow and you know, no specific numbers or anything like that. But, you know, I think that our league has worked extremely hard to make our product very marketable and make that brand very strong. And you know, the best thing about the SEC is that, you know, it's a 15 share deal, and so the 14 institutions and a share going back to the league, and that makes us all strong, you know. And so a lot of credit to Commissioner Sankey and Charlie Hussey and those folks that have worked really, really hard on this, you know, to benefit us, and we look forward to hopefully, you know, sharing some of that revenue and getting some of the benefit of their hard work.
Winning like 85% of getting people into the arena or the stadium or whatever in a way. I mean, you got to have everything set up for when they get there. You got to make it an event. You can't lose them once they're there. But for the most part, isn't that just about winning games?
Well, yeah, and that's the old joke that's the best marketing plan, you know, is to win. And so, you know, we want to win and we're going to win. And, you know, that's certainly going to help. But you can't just rely on that. And I think that's where, you know, you got to figure out your game day. You got to continue to improve on that and make sure that you know, sometimes people, if they're on the fence, whether they want to come or watch at home, there's got to be something to draw them there, you know, to say, you know what, I want to be there for this. And certainly the winning and having a great team is going to do that. But, you know, some of the amenities that we can offer and some of the things from a game day experience, you know, we'll always continue to tweak those and try to make those better so that folks want to be in the venue.
Is the Grove the best thing and the worst thing for that?
100%. I say it all the time. You know, the Grove is our biggest asset and maybe our biggest liability from that standpoint because, you know, people want to come. They're going to come to the Grove, and now they're setting up their tent with, you know, two and three TVs going and watching games. And, you know, it's easy when it's time for kickoff and I'm going to stay here and watch the end of this game before I go over, and then maybe another game starts in the second half of hours and, you know, just all those things. So, we want to leverage the Grove. Certainly, it's a treasure, and it's one of those bucket list items that people care about so much. But we want them to come over to the game, and so we're going to continue to talk about that and getting people over to the game, and not only coming, but staying in the second half and helping us, you know, in the fourth quarter win a bunch of games.
So, ever come a point where you have to, not that you choose to, but where you have to try to monetize the Grove?
Maybe, you know, down the road. And there's been discussions on that. It's just such a complicated equation, you know, because, you know, you don't want to ruin what it is. But we've gotten a lot of feedback that people would love to have their own spot where they know they don't have to rush in on a Friday night and all those things. So, again, balancing, you know, kind of what it is and what it could be. But, yeah, I would see at some point where, you know, maybe at least certain portions of the Grove were monetized and but again, that's a much larger discussion. That's a campus discussion and one that, you know, we'll probably have along the way. And we've tried to do some of that here by our main athletics building where we're selling kind of turnkey tailgate tents and trying to get that going. And obviously we haven't been winning as much, so it hasn't been as successful But it's almost like a test case to see, you know, how people like it and how it can operate and function. And then maybe at some point down the line, we could move that over into the Grove or the Circle and see how it works.
Never going to please everybody there. And so it's just, hey, no matter what, you're going to get some love mail and some hate mail on both sides, no matter what you do.
Well, I've learned that in really just about any decision you make. So you're going to get some love mail and some hate mail on both of those. So that is probably the number one thing I've learned here in the first couple weeks.
How many emails and messages and things did you get regarding the coaching search last week from fans?
A bunch. And I've been able to get my text messages back in order. The emails have not. I probably will never get those back in order. They just have to move on from this day moving forward. But it's been good. I mean, obviously, you know, we had some stuff after the Egg Bowl, and a lot of stuff kind of coming through the search and different things. But that's good. And it kind of goes back to the point I was making earlier. You want a passionate fan base. You want people that are engaged. And you want people that care. And, you know, I think if I'm not getting any emails, that's probably a problem, you know. And so keep them coming. You know, if I can't get back to every one of you, I read them all. But it's one of those that, you know, maybe at this point I may just have to, again, start from where I am now moving forward because I may not get back to all those emails.
Look, you love excitement, but anger is better than apathy, Keith. Apathy is the worst thing.
No question. Yeah. And that's kind of what I was seeing, you know, as I made the decision with Matt is that, you know, I just didn't feel like we were going to get back to the point we needed to from an excitement standpoint and engagement standpoint. And, you know, I think we were losing some people that we weren't going to get back, you know, frankly. And so, we needed to make that change. And just on a side note, couldn't be happier for Matt and Ashley and their opportunity at Georgia. You know, well deserved. He'll crush it over there. And, you know, I know they'll do an awesome job.
How much of that email picked up, say, that Tuesday morning, 10-ish, 11-ish, out of curiosity, just randomly?
There were a few that came through then, yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Overall in the week, how many, what percentage would you assume came in support of Kiffin throughout the week?
There were a lot. I mean, you know, that buzz picked up around the time frame you're talking about, Neil. But there was a lot of emails and text messages with suggestions and support and all of those things. And it wasn't just Coach Kiffin. There were emails for other candidates. And as a matter of fact, there was one other candidate I got a lot of emails about. So, mm-hmm. But it was good. The process was good. Talked to a lot of great coaches and some people that I know that we're going to see here over the next 4 or 5 years being very successful. And I learned that there's a lot of young talent out there. Very impressed with some of the coaches that I talked to and the ones that maybe that I didn't talk to but did a lot of research on. I think we're in for some good coaching here over the next, you know, 10 or 15 years. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You might not be comfortable answering this, but I'm so curious that I'm going to ask, what was the, for lack of a better word, craziest suggestion that you got in email?
Well, we had some emails about bringing some previous coaches back or, you know, different things, you know, some assistant coaches that wanted to be on staff. I mean, just, you get kind of everything, yeah. You know, and you've got to have to filter through those and kind of cut through some and realize what the focus is. But, I want people to send me whatever they want to send and, you know, I'm going to read it and assess it and either go that direction or another direction. But, I want people to be passionate and want to be supportive. And, you know, what I learned through it all is it's because they are supportive and passionate. I didn't get a lot of negativity. You know, people were wanting to add suggestions to try to help. And, you know, that's what we need. We need everybody pulling the same direction. And, you know, for me, I deciphered through a lot of those emails, I got a good feeling about the fact that people, you know, wanted to be a part of this thing and they wanted to jump back on board. So that was a good thing.
Appreciate the time, bud. Have a good day, and hopefully we'll get back with you after the new year.
Sounds great, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Keith Carter there with us on the Rafters Hotline this morning. Neil back in the room now, as you can tell by the live stream or not. So we'll get to some of your questions and some more thoughts in 1 minute. First, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and with the rates as low as they've been in about 2 years, Great time to talk to Jason. That's 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Keith Carter and all other guests join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters is sports, music, drink, and food, and it's known for its great food, New Orleans-style po' boys, handcrafted burgers with the Cajun flair, and more. Rafters on the Square offers the best sports viewing in Oxford with 14 large flat screens plus a 17-foot big screen on the Rafter stage. Rafters is known for its famous Bloody Mary, but they have three full bars, including an outside patio bar. It's open Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., opens on Friday and Saturday at 11 a.m. until 2 a.m., and their Sunday brunch is voted the best brunch in Oxford. From 10:45 to 3, you can enjoy that brunch, live bluegrass band, and $3 mimosas. All of that at Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward and chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental in Corinth, Mississippi is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen and Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. Call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth and let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile with Invisalign. It's CorinthDental.com. If you need a great idea for your kids this holiday season, the Oxford Park Commission recommends signing up for the 2020 spring soccer season. If you played with them in the fall, you can rejoin your team for just $25. The cost for new registration is $50. Leagues are open for ages 5 to 15. The deadline to sign up is December the 22nd. For more information, visit oxfordparkcommission.com. And we're brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community. It's located 8 miles southwest of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. SplinterCreekMS.com, 601-898-2772 to schedule a tour with Tom Smith Land and Home Agents today. If you're thinking about moving to Oxford, thinking about retiring to Oxford, you owe it to yourself to check out Splinter Creek. It's 34 lakefront lots, ranging in size from 2 to 25 acres, 650 acres of lakes, pine, and hardwood forest, 6 miles of private roads, running, cycling, hiking trails. There's just so much there. It's absolutely gorgeous, and you should check it out. SplinterCreekMS.com.
Appreciate the extended time there with Keith, about 40 minutes or so with him this morning. Have we have this problem? We put the headphones on, have a cap. I get like this little like bump, a little indentation in the top of my hair and my head when I have that. I know you don't have the same issue, but
if you're waiting for sympathy, well, it's going to be a hell of a wait.
Got a haircut appointment today. I couldn't put a cap on, so it's
going to be a hell of a wait.
Told Keith Kiffin's on with the Golic and Wingo this morning. He got us, so not exactly the same. It's not the same thing, but we're here.
Jay Tate and I talked about this on Greatest Pod of the South, and I'll put it up. It's out there.
It's out in the stratosphere if they'd like to find it.
I know there are probably people like, hey, how come you guys can't get Lane Kiffin? Lane Kiffin doesn't need us right now at all. I have no problem admitting this. I'm a very pragmatic person. Lane Kiffin can get his message out right now through national media.
He's elevating your program right now is what he's doing. But selling your program.
But I've got people that are, they'll send me stuff, I bet you're pissed off. Like, no, why would I be pissed off? Now, there are other people that are writing these giant kiss-ass columns, slobbering, oh, please talk to me. No, come on. He can talk to Cowherd. He can talk to Golic and Wingo. He can talk to Dan Patrick. He doesn't need me at all. Like if he were to analyze how to use his time, why would he want to spend 30 minutes today talking to me or us? It's silly. There'll come a point, I think, maybe where he'll visit with us and we'll do that. But right now, getting his message out, making sure recruits hear him, that kind of thing.
He's trying to flood the internet right now is what he's doing.
Yeah, he can.
And you do that with national radio people.
Yeah, he can get his message out quickly right now. He'll do Feinbaum. Quite frankly, Feinbaum's more regional. He did Paul's show. If you're not a national show, there's no reason to do people like, oh, man, he's cut you guys off. It just doesn't work like that. I mean, from a PR standpoint, I got to give this guy credit. He gets it. He gets it. He's the first coach I've covered at Ole Miss. Nut, Freeze, football coach, I should say.
Yeah.
First football coach I've covered who gets it from a media standpoint. He's killing it right now, doing national media stuff. Now, there will come a point where this story will fade and other things will be bigger. The NFL playoffs will roll around, for example. The bowl games, the college football playoff. But I bet you see him on some of the college football playoff stuff. I bet you see him being present.
His personality is so good for not just radio, but national radio, because it's not the coach speak. It's very to the point. He doesn't waste a lot of words, not scared to answer your questions, and he has just enough fun to make it work. That's why they want him, because not a lot of coaches can pull that off. A lot of coaches would be terrible on national radio because I'm not going to give you an answer, I'm going to go long-winded, or I'm not going to say anything at all. And he does. He strikes the perfect chord of getting to the point, making his joke, moving on, next question, next question, next question, next question. I mean, he was on with Dan Patrick for 10 minutes or whatever, and I bet there were 22 questions or something, because it was just go.
Yeah. Well, he has a conversation, not an interview.
Yeah, right.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, he's good at it. He's natural at it, which is kind of typical, really, of introverted, intelligent, talented people who don't really like doing the public speaking thing. Look at the difference between his speech in the pavilion and all of his other interactions.
Yeah. It was by far the most forced.
Yeah, he was not struggling with the speech, but it was work.
Not nervous. That's not the right word.
Yeah, that's not the right word. Just he wasn't comfortable. Since then, he's extremely comfortable in his communication. Tells me everything.
Getting into some questions today. I don't guess we have any. Well, Jeff Lebby, offensive coordinator. We already knew about Kevin Smith, the running backs coach. And then they announced Wilson Love, which we've knew the entire time. Yeah. So those staff hires have been made to this point. Lebby, again, is the OC. Got the title that we were expecting. So.
I still think it's McIntyre. I know that's not done. I still think that Clements from Florida State is going to be the offensive line coach. I know that is not done. I don't know what all is done. I think they'll announce stuff when they're comfortable, and you just heard Keith say it. It might be a little while.
You're not firing. You got to have a full staff in place always. So, I mean, it's just one at a time. I mean, you know, the guys are getting paid. It's going to be all right, guys.
Yeah, the dead period kicks in Sunday at midnight. It'll chill a little for a couple of days, and they'll be working the phones like mad. And then Wednesday's the signing period, and then it's going to cool off. It's going to call, and it's going to give him an opportunity to reassess and to finalize. And the truth is, he doesn't need his full staff in place until the first recruiting weekend of January.
I do love the internet, by the way. We got all the reaction to Matt last night at Newman High School when that whole thing starting. I love the internet. We get every.
Well, look, Matt Luke works for the University of Georgia now. That's his job. Now we do this deal with Matt Luke where we now revise history. Here's what Matt Luke did at Ole Miss in 3 years. He stabilized the program. He helped them rebuild the roster to a point, and he didn't win enough games. There you go.
Football God times.
That debate gets old.
Yeah. Football God time. Record this season?
You asked me to predict one?
Yeah, 6-6.
7-5.
Okay.
They get the new coach win bounce.
Who's the seventh? Who's the win we're not expecting? Because I think we know who the sixth would be, barring weird. I mean, I know you can't go scratch, but just doing it out, we know where the sixth
would be. In my mind, they beat Southeast Missouri. They beat Vanderbilt.
The three non-cons and then Vanderbilt, State, and Arkansas. Those are six.
That's six.
Who's the other one? Baylor, Auburn, A&M.
I'll say they beat. They get A&M here?
No, it's out there.
I'll say they beat Auburn.
Auburn at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Recruiting class ranking this season.
Oh, God. I don't know. Where are they right now? I don't even know.
Way down. 23.
27.
Okay. Next year, you're climbing a top 10 class.
Yes. This is a transition class.
Okay. They also give the suggestion we should do Neil's picks for basketball and baseball, but that sounds very complicated. Ooh.
I don't know how we would do baseball. Like pick series?
Pick weekends, yeah.
We could have some fun with it, I guess, but I don't know. You got to understand, guys, I don't know enough college baseball to even be funny, to be creative. I don't watch it. It's not personal. It's just it's in the middle of basketball season, and then we have spring football, and then I'm watching Major League Baseball from the opening pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see much college baseball at all. I try to make myself see enough Ole Miss
to have a little bit of a conversation.
Yeah, I watch enough to be able to contribute some here, but I don't. If Vanderbilt and Texas A&M are playing a college baseball series on TV, if Rocker's pitching for Vanderbilt, I might watch some. If it's anybody else, I'm flipping. It's no big deal.
I did see where Corbin went on the Chris Lee's podcast, I think, and talked about how it was completely unfair that everybody says they have some advantages at Vanderbilt. That we don't realize what their kids are having to sacrifice to play baseball at Vanderbilt.
It's the little engine that could.
I mean, it's really the damnedest national story that nobody's talking about. I mean, just Vanderbilt. It's amazing they're even competitive, really. I mean, I don't know how they even put a team together. I don't know how they buy bats and gloves and balls. Like, it's
the little engine that
could. It's amazing they're not, like, worse than Alabama, frankly.
I think I can. Really, it's a power of positive thought.
Is it? Is that what it is?
Yep.
They willed it into existence is what they did.
They are an example. Like I tell my kids all the time, you can be anything that you dream to be.
As long as you're completely funded for it.
I mean, you know, someone's asking about Khalil Benson. Look, I don't want to do this to kids. So I don't. There obviously is a evaluation difference from one staff to the next. Simple as that. When you see drops this late in the deal, it's almost always a school let the kid know, hey, you should sign somewhere else. And they let the kid decommit. And you should absolutely let the kid decommit and let that be the message.
Hattiesburg Reb, tell a funny story about the coaching search. I'm really not sure. It feel like it's a blur right now. Like, I don't even necessarily remember what all we talked about or did. You guys would think we've lost our minds and we're insane during these things. Like, it's information overload. It's just constant calls and second guessing, frankly. It's second guessing more than anything else. It's going, hey, I know if I could step back and look at myself right now, you'd go, hey, you've got it. Everything's good. There's no problems whatsoever. But then in your head, you've figured out and you've decided you're missing 14 different things in this search and you're not talking to the right person. It is a version of insanity for a week.
I was pretty much on it.
You were nervous, though, and you were right because it was Drinkwitz.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Well, I knew there was something I was missing.
It wasn't
missing.
Jeff Scott. It wasn't Chip Long. It wasn't any of that.
Well,
it was Elijah Drinkwitz.
Dudes. I got those guys shot down.
Yeah, it was Drinkwitz.
There was a lot of stuff as it pertained to Kiffin that was funny, but I can't talk about it because I would violate a source, and that'd be the end of that. I got to be careful with
that. He got the job he wanted.
Yes.
Because I could recount one that everybody would laugh at, but no.
Had two or three conversations that were really funny looking back on it. And at the time, it was kind of funny, but I can't get into it. I can't do it without violating a source, and I'm not going to do that.
Don't want to do that?
Nope.
Doesn't seem like the right time for that, does it?
No, I mean, no. Frankly, I don't know that I would ever do it. No. Say people say write a book. I can't write a book. I'd have to violate a lot of sources to write a book, number one. And number two, I don't think I could write a book that would sell. I get that email a lot, and I'm flattered by it. But I mean,
mass appeal.
But I'm being serious here. I'm not good enough to write a book. I mean, I would be made fun of in much the same way that Steve Robertson is made fun of for writing a book. I mean, Steve Robertson's not good enough to write a book. And you see what happens with this book. What's he made? $10?
I don't know.
You know, not good enough to write a book. You got to be really, really, really talented to write a book. And then you have to have a subject that has mass appeal. And you have to have a big enough name and enough cachet for that subject to take off. And I don't have any of that.
Where do you stand on Robert Kimdichie's career at Ole Miss? Easy to say with the big three, Treadwell and Tunzel, more than lived up to their billing, but offers offer questionable and argued he took plays off, despite the fact I firmly believe he's worth the hype. I guess I'm asking, what is his legacy?
A lot of what could have been. A lot of what could have been. His legacy, frankly, is that he could have been.
His legacy is surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah, there's a lot of life lessons in the Robert Kimdichie legacy. Do what you want to do. Don't do things because family members tell you that's what you should do. I don't believe that coming to Ole Miss was truly Robert's decision. Denzel was a very negative influence on Robert here, obviously. And then it's also, there's a drug abuse lesson in there, for being completely honest.
That's what's kind of interesting. Four guys that you would think, hey, NFL potential just from every pore, one is going to make that be the case. Treadwell, Kimdichie, Tunzel, and Antonio Connor.
Yeah. Tony's issue obviously was an injury.
Yeah, right.
Quan's to some degree was an injury as well. Or to a lot of degree. Laquan certainly had the work ethic. But yeah, Laramie's the best offensive lineman I've ever seen in person. And Robert could have been an absolute superstar. Could have absolutely been a superstar. One of the most athletic human beings I've ever seen.
What's your favorite book ever? I got to think about it. I don't have an answer off the top of my head, which is interesting.
Favorite
but
book ever?
I guess it kind of depends what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, I don't know that I have one.
From a straight history
book.
Lesson, that we've talked about this book a lot on the podcast. That President's Club is probably top five.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
That's up there.
The Chernow books are good.
Yeah, they're just so long.
They are. They're long. The Clancy books are very entertaining. I can't remember the name of the book now. We'll find it. I remember the book, the story about the girl growing up in Afghanistan.
Oh,
the mountains.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. It was powerful.
We asked Keith a minute ago, favorite Christmas movie. What's 2 through 4 or 5, something like that? Everybody's got Vacation in there. Fine, whatever. But what else you got? Are you an It's a Wonderful Life fan?
No, it's okay. It's fine.
You don't hate it.
It's fine.
Does it go on that Field of Dreams problem for you, where it's just too much?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, you got just enough cynicism in you to where, hey, you can't just...
I like Elf a lot. It's funny. I can watch Elf and get a really good kick out of it.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I like Elf. It's funny. What are the other ones?
I don't know why.
Will Ferrell's awesome.
I don't know what made me laugh, but it did. Home Alone?
I can watch Home
Alone. You okay
with
Home Alone?
Home Alone, the first one's fine. The second one's a little bit of a stretch.
Charlie Brown Christmas?
Yeah.
Are you good there?
Oh,
you a Charlie Brown fan?
The Grinch That Stole Christmas is good. Again, we're talking acting talent at that point. But The Grinch is good.
Love Actually count?
I guess.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Sure, it's fine.
I don't know. I mean, it's up to you.
Okay.
You're not counting Die Hard.
I mean, it's not really a Christmas movie. It's a good movie, and if you want to make it a Christmas movie and put it on, I'll watch it.
I'm going through a list of the top, like, 50 ever or whatever, and there's a lot that I realize. There are very few Christmas movies I actually really like. And there's some that I just like the movies, but I don't classify them as Christmas in any way whatsoever. Just no, not even a little bit. So anyway.
I put Shark back in timeout, I think. Hope I didn't put the wrong part.
You did what now?
Our friend Shark.
Is he back today?
He's back today.
I mean, I like the persistence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind him being there, but come on, he can't come in and just troll. Just going to stop it.
We talked to Keith about
potential. Why is an LSU fan worked up today? Man, you should be. Listen, I'm being serious here for a minute. Dude, realistically, this is as good as it gets. Ride it out. You're winning every award. You're undefeated. You won the SEC. You're going to win the Heisman on Saturday. Enjoy it. Don't waste these days trolling other fans. This is, you're not ever guaranteed.
Spending your morning hanging out watching us to be whatever.
It's Cub fan talking, okay?
Okay,
Cub sure. fan talking. In 2016, when the Cubs won the World Series, most realistic people thought this was the beginning of a dynasty. Turns out it wasn't. You don't know, LSU fan, that you're guaranteed to get back here. You may not. Stuff happens. Enjoy it. Don't worry about other people. Hope you beat Oklahoma and win the next game. Enjoy what's happening with your program right now. This is, you're having like everything go your way. Enjoy that. This should be happy time, not troll time.
We got some decent LSU fans on our message board. There's several that pay for subscriptions. Sure. They're fine. We all hang out. We get along a little bit. Grindhard's an Auburn fan. He hangs out on our live stream most morning. We have this like allied system because of Jay with Auburn people for the most part. All can get along.
Well, it's
a little
just
bit.
Football, man. I mean, yeah.
Missouri was in the West, we'd get along with Gabe's people. Yeah. All right.
It isn't nuclear war or anything. It's just football. It's all right. It's program. Did I say program? I don't know. Hell,
you do that a lot. Yeah, you do program a lot. Program. Football program.
I don't know. I don't know that it matters.
You say finagle or finagle?
Finagle.
Finagle?
Yeah.
I get confused once I ask the question. I'm not really sure. I have to do it without thinking about it.
The only one that I really struggle with is affect and effect. I have to ask people repeatedly, am I doing that one right?
Really?
Yeah.
Most surprising or more surprising Ole Miss win, 2008 Florida, 2013 LSU.
2008 Florida. No one saw that coming. No one. Not a damn soul.
13 LSU, they were very banged up, all that stuff. But
that wasn't a dominant LSU team.
It's a weird LSU team.
They were good, but they weren't dominant. That Florida team won the national title, and most people thought it would win the national title, and most people thought it would go undefeated.
And it was bookended with Ole Miss by losses to Wake Forest and South Carolina.
Yeah, nobody thought. And they lost to Vanderbilt, too, that year, right? Didn't Ole Miss lose to Vandy or not?
Was that another loss?
They lost to Wake, Carolina, Alabama, and...
Was it Vanderbilt?
For some reason, I want to say Vanderbilt, okay. But hell, I don't know.
That's fine. Okay.
No one saw that coming. Shocking. Shocking. That was one of the very few times that I've walked out of a stadium still shaking my head going, I can't believe I just wrote that.
Yeah, 23-17, lost to Vanderbilt at home.
Yeah. I mean, go freaking figure.
Yeah, this was a stretch during that. Lost to Wake Forest, beat Samford, whatever. Lost to Vanderbilt, beat Florida, lost to South Carolina, lost to Alabama, then went on the run.
Yeah, then became...
Survive Fayetteville, and then here we go.
Then became one of the best two or three teams in the country.
Yes, so weird. So weird.
Bizarre, man.
I will say that was the only transition, Orgeron to Nutt, where you didn't get the players all pissed off and whatever about the coach leaving. Well, Orgeron had beaten them down so badly to that point that, I mean, I've told this story 1,000 times. Like, I remember we actually got players like right after that, really quickly, something that wouldn't happen today, but that long ago it was a little different, whatever. And it was Tony Fine who, like, we kept asking these questions, and he just looked at us and goes, guys, you know, what do you want to say? Like, right. I'm trying to be nice here. Stop asking the same question over and over
He's
again.
He's killed us. We can't play for him anymore.
Yeah. We're excited. It's just stop asking the question.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
And Nutt came in and was positive and loved on him and all that stuff. Took him a little while to trust him.
Yeah.
And then once they did, it was...
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy. Get your flu shot today if you have not zeroed our copay on most insurance plans. You don't have to wait in line for an overworked pharmacist at the chain drugstore. So stop by one of the locally owned pharmacies where they have multiple pharmacists available to get you out as quickly and painlessly as possible. That's Tyson Drugs on the square in Holly Springs, or G&M, located off South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222.
It's transition time at Dead Soxy. After their biggest sale, they've gone back to the drawing board to bring you new offerings for Christmas. Don't worry, they won't be forming any committees or doing any national searches. They've got this in Santa's bag, so enjoy 30% off all your orders with promo code Rebel Grove. Make sure to get the stocking stuffer he or she will love. 30% off all items, including already deep discounted sale items. As always, stay Soxy. We're just less than 2 weeks from Christmas now. Time is running out to complete your holiday shopping. But thanks to our friends at Blue Delta Jeans, you can solve that problem today. Call them, message them on social media, or visit their new website at BlueDeltaJeans.com to purchase a gift card and give your loved ones the best fitting pair of jeans they'll ever wear. Additionally, Oxford Exxon podcast listeners with the pattern on file can get $100 off the online price and a free 2-week rush on their order using promo code podcast through the Blue Delta Jeans website. Go ahead, take advantage of this deal so you can show up to your Christmas parties in style. Our picks are sponsored each week by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has some amazing news to share. Just like the Rebels, they have something shiny and new in their hands now. So come visit the new restaurant. It opened on Wednesday in Tupelo. Enjoy all your Southern favorites from their carefully crafted menu. Enjoy a curated cocktail or one of their many craft beers on tap. It is located in the new Bank Plus building, 205 East Troy Street. So come get in the fun at Southern Craft Stove and Tap. And don't forget to avoid the traffic on the square at their Oxford location off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap. We're also sponsored by Nest and Wild. Sleep better with Nest and Wild mattress. Nest and Wild is a Mississippi-based mattress company making a high-quality mattress delivered right to your door. They make buying a new mattress easy. Every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick, giving you comfort and support that will last. A lot of online brands sell an 8-inch or 10-inch mattress with less support and durability. But from the twin size to the California King, every Nest and Wild mattress is 12 inches, 1 foot thick. Nest and Wild mattresses are 100% American made. Nest and Wild's pricing is competitive when compared to the rest of the mattress companies in their tier. Getting this quality of mattress for the money is a great value for the customer. Add in the podcast discount and it's even better. Also, you fight cancer in your sleep with Nest and Wild because they partnered with former major leaguer Jason Mott and his foundation in the fight against cancer. Every mattress sold is a portion given back to Mott's charity. So it's a no-risk decision. Nest and Wild believes in their product so much, they're offering a 99-night trial on every mattress. Try it out. Sleep on it for 99 nights. And if you don't like it, you can return it. Go to nestandwild.com. Order your mattress. Use the podcast code REBEL20 and get 20% off your purchase. Your mattress will arrive at your door in 3 to 5 days.
Yes, Lane Kiffin will do a similar media structure to Saban. Assistant coaches pretty much will not be available. That was the way it was at FAU. I went back and watched some different videos there, and they had people talking about some of the coaches, but the coaches were not allowed to actually be in the media interviews. So, yes, one voice, that voice being Lane Kiffin for the program. So, yep, that is true. ESPN reporting, a source says Eli Manning will again be the starter for the New York Giants this week. Did it last week as well. Looks like he's doing it this week also. And then Joe Burrow continues to just rack up all sorts of quarterback awards.
Here's what I love about Kiffin.
What?
He's tweeting out. He tweeted out his morning thing, start of a great weekend, Ole Miss football and all the fishing things, the football and the flames and the number 5 and then a star emoji.
Uh-huh.
And then he tweets out a GIF, whichever it is,
mm-hmm.
of what appears to be a dolphin or a manatee. Not a manatee, a dolphin or whatever, porpoise flipping.
Yeah.
It's just fun. Here, what does it mean, Neil? Hell, I don't know, man. I mean,
is he just showing a big fish or is it the flip that matters?
It's the whole fish.
That's what I'm saying. But leaping. Is it the flip that's important or is it just the fish that's important?
I don't know.
You think he's saying flip or do we think that...
I think he's having a hell of a lot of fun with people is what he's doing. He's creating excitement. And
well, yesterday...
He's making people ask me, what does it mean?
Well, okay. Because yesterday, We both saw it. We didn't talk about the podcast. We had the you had the Twitter kerfuffle between some different people in Tyler Horka on Monday or Tuesday or whatever that was. Monday night, I guess, maybe. And Lane, every time he's gone anywhere, he's been, or not everywhere, but most places, he's been sending out airport pictures. Just whenever he gets to an airport, he did it in Conway, Arkansas. He did it in Baton Rouge and made a joke because the Alabama plane was on the tarmac too. And was like, he said, like, what are the chances or something like that.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, he was in Starkville, landed there, George Brown Airport, wherever it is, and he put a picture up. Well, immediately, like all the state media is going, see, no, he really cares about the rivalry. See, troll, 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 troll. And then I think he saw all that and went, I don't know this. My guest goes, well, I will troll you now. So he saw like a state sign later, and he took a picture of that and tweeted that out. It's all just fun. Like, he has successfully ruffled feathers by not being emotional about that game.
Yes.
It's bothering people. It's driving them insane.
Just so you know, the last 24 hours have 1,000% proved my point. I now can say emphatically about my stance about that stupid trophy, I am right.
You starve it. You starve
it. They desperately want you, Ole Miss, to engage them.
They want Lane to tweet about them badly.
Yes.
His advice would be do not mention them. Troll everybody else, have fun, whatever you're doing. No, leave them alone.
I don't know how you do it. I got to think about how you, I've got a little time to think about it.
What are we doing?
How do you do it when you win the game at home? It's easy if you win the game in Starkville to just leave the trophy there, and now it's awkward. What do you do if you win the game at home? The first thing that comes to mind is that you ship the trophy to the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame and say, Merry Christmas. We don't want it.
Y'all can have it for the year. Let them figure it out afterwards.
It's yours now. And you make a big video production of sending it out.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that way everybody sees exactly what you've done. Make it very public.
You like do the egg, you see the box coming with the peanuts or whatever we're putting in, and we're packing this bad boy up. And
type up the mailing address, put it on.
Probably pretty expensive, because you know, we made jokes with Ross Bjork, you know, had you had to ship some of those, like the Birmingham Bowl trophy back years ago, that'd be a lot of postage.
I don't think it would be hard to raise the postage money.
To ship the egg back.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you could start that GoFundMe and it get kicked in pretty quick.
Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame is the guess.
I mean, that would make sense.
It would.
Here's the trophy. We're not treating it badly, but we don't want it anymore. And then that makes them, if they play the game in Starkville the next year, they would. It makes them have to go to the trouble of figuring out, okay, what do we do? Do we bring it here? What do we do? And no, the commissioner's not going to make a big deal out of Ole Miss sending the trophy back. We don't want it anymore.
Okay.
We do what you want with it. It's yours.
I mean, LSU didn't grab a trophy all year this year.
Until they won the one that had SEC champs on.
Yeah, yeah. But the Magnolia Bowl.
They proved their point.
Yeah.
To their credit, man, they did.
Some staffers went out and got them and brought them back in the locker room or on the bus or wherever they went. That's what they did.
Doesn't State have a presidential, there's a presidential library on campus? It's like, might be Ulysses S. Grant has his presidential library at Mississippi State.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Seriously?
Yeah, look that up. I'm almost positive that I'm right.
How did I not know this?
I don't know. I'm almost positive Mississippi State has a presidential library on campus.
Yeah.
Is it Grant?
Ulysses Sets Grant Presidential Library, 449 Hardy Street, Starkville, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Send it to there. It's a museum. No, you send it to the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You package it up.
It doesn't need to go to U.S. Grants.
You package it up neatly, and you send it overnight.
Overnight.
Uh-huh.
We'll get it there quickly.
And so you have FedEx come, pick it up, take care of it, box it up appropriately where nothing can happen to it. Hand it to the FedEx guy on film.
And you feel strongly about this.
Absolutely. Look at yesterday.
It's a picture of an airport. I mean, because
okay, he put up a picture of a sign that said Hail State. That's all it said in maroon on a white background.
The day before, Hail he State. Put up a sign of a bunch of LSU stuff over a door.
And they go crazy. See, he cares. He cares. He cares about us, mommy. See? No, you prove my point. I'm right. And Kiffin didn't grow up with that about Ole Miss and Mississippi State. He didn't care. Couldn't care less. Leave it right there. Tell your players, hey, listen, we're going to win this game. And when we do, you are not to touch the trophy. No trophies. Come back in here. We'll have a celebration.
We'll move on with our day. We'll get ready for our bowl game.
We got bigger things to do.
I think it was Texas baseball using the runner-up trophy as a doorstop for a year.
I actually liked that about Scott Cochran at Alabama when they finished the national runner-up. He took the trophy at their first big workout, crushed it right there on the field, in the weight room. Just crushed it. Basically handed people a sledgehammer. Have at it. Broke that thing into a gazillion pieces. That's not what we're about. People go, ah, it's kind of dramatic. It's kind of weird. No, I mean, it's just the
It's all a little dramatic. It's football.
It's just a trophy. It's all it is. It's a stupid trophy. Did you see ESPN story on the O.J. Simpson Heismans?
I have not looked at it. I saw it yesterday. I was going to mention it, but I haven't read it.
It's really fascinating. Really well done. Crazy.
We're hitting like bingo today on Oxford Exxon podcast. We're doing O.J. We're doing Rocky IV. We're hitting several of them as we go through this a little bit. Yes, there is a basketball game against Middle Tennessee at what time tomorrow? What time's a basketball game?
2, I think.
Is it 2?
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta write basketball.
What are you writing about?
I don't know. I gotta do it. Figure it out. I'll write something today.
Been a little behind there. No, it doesn't really happen though.
I've been a lot behind.
Ole Miss 6-3, Middle 4-6. I said Middle's awful. Yeah. They're just terrible.
And 2 Kermit's o'clock. Coached against them last year, so the Kermit coaching against his old team's not really a storyline anymore.
No, it's just a bad team in town for a game.
Yeah.
They play them, then they play Southeast Louisiana, and they play Tennessee Tech. Yeah. The next 3.
Yeah.
And then they go play Wichita. Next one that's important.
Wichita's be a good game.
Are they good again?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Are they?
Yep.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. At Rebel Grove, we've got we'll have any coach stuff at Pops. As of now, those 3 have been the ones that have been announced: Lebby, Smith, and Wilson Love. Still seeing basically all the other assistants other that have been officially let go.
Well, Peeler got a job as the offensive coordinator at UTSA.
Texas State,
I'm sorry.
With Jake Spavital.
Yeah.
They were at Cal together back in the
Peeler's
day.
Peeler's there. Luke's at Georgia. Rodriguez, to my knowledge, hasn't landed anywhere yet.
No.
Bicknell hasn't landed anywhere yet. I would suspect Bicknell will go back to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else.
Is that it? I don't know where Jeff Koons is. He's been let go.
He'll get a job.
Yeah. He came from North Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Hey, we're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. It's pintrust.com. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, much more. Mind on My Money podcast was up yesterday. That's brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. You should listen to it. And also brought to you by the Westin Jackson, where you can restore serenity to your soul. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. And also gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. It's right there in the Westin Jackson. It's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson. We love it. We highly recommend it to you as well.
We'll be back on Monday with another edition of the podcast. Again, rebelgrove.com for football news, for basketball tomorrow, and much more. Appreciate Keith Carter again for his time today. And we will talk to you again very, very, very soon. Take care.